It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's talk some Big Red football with Mr. Pizza, Paisan's Pizzeria. Matt Verzel with his @Verz51 on Twitter. Your host, a Husker Hangover as well. Verz, what's a good word, man? Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, you bet, man. Not too much, just kind of catering season, so been busy, got a bunch going on and all that fun stuff, so you know how it goes.
Well, the catering playbook, I'm interested in just a moment of that. How do you map it out with your staff and no one left from right? I mean, it sounds crazy busy.
I do appreciate the thought that there's much more than me, but no, we had a. I am the playbook. I got to Paisan's at 3 o'clock this morning, and we got 165 pizzas out to their destination by 11:30 a.m. So,
it's a win, man. Good for you. Good stuff there. Well,
debatable.
Well, I'm not going to debate you. I won't. But I'm interested in Saturday. Did you have a chance to go, or did you have a chance to observe the spring game?
I didn't go down, but I had the chance. I watched quite a bit of it on TV and got the chance to see the new look for 2024/2025 Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Verz, it's not sexy, but the offensive line play is something that, as time has gone on, has stood out to me a little bit more. Obviously, when you're in person, you're watching it, you're watching the quarterbacks. But as I go back, I mean, the offensive line across both teams only allowed one sack throughout the entire game, if you want to call it that. And they also did a pretty good job opening up the rushing lanes. Do you have any thoughts on how the offensive line performed on Saturday?
I would slow down with the one sack quote there. They one of the touchdowns that got thrown, if you watch, I believe it's number 90. Number 90 rushes upfield, quarterback steps up in the pocket, 90 comes off his block and taps the quarterback on the hip, I think twice. Two more steps are taken, the ball is thrown, it's a touchdown. And I was like, well, that's a spring game touchdown. That's not a reality touchdown. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, they're getting better. They look the part physically. You know, they're in better shape. Foot speed in a couple instances still needs to pick up and get better. But, you know, year two of Coach Rhule and his thing's going in a good direction. And the great part about it, you know, for me, probably just as a fan and as a coach, there's a ton of room for improvement with it yet still, so they can get better. So there's a lot still they have to work on over the fall and over the summer.
Matt Verzel's with us, former Husker, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Verz, let's get to the quarterbacks, and you've been around some great ones. I'm anxious to get your read on that quarterback room. Starting off with Dylan Raiola, Harburg looked much improved. And, of course, you know Danny Kalen well and have seen him, you know, grow up on the practice field. Interested to see that spot and how we know how vital it is in college football.
Yeah. You know, the thing with – oh, man. I really – as it went on, I really hoped that – I really hope more people would pay attention to what happened in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska's roster at times is four or five deep with a non-line position. Mm-hmm. Michigan is three or four deep with offensive line / defensive line players. And then when you get a generational leader in, you know, like J.J. McCarthy was to them, now the sky is the limit. So it's, don't get me wrong, it's great. You know, I think it's Rayola looked to be the part of probably what you're going to see as a quarterback in Nebraska. I mean, it's, we can be honest with ourselves. We can say it's quarterback competition, all that stuff, and this, that, the other. He made a couple throws, you know, like flick of the wrist throws that you haven't seen anybody be able to make in Nebraska for quite a while. And the continued focus on improving both lines is the only place I would look for to determine how Nebraska football will progress. You know, those two places will take you as far as you want to go. But then when you get a guy in there that is just better than everybody else at the quarterback position, now you can exercise a lot of demons that have occurred over the past few years.
It's Matt Verzo with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Matt, have you come back down to earth since Saturday, if you will, with some added perspective around Dylan Riley's performance? Where are you at compared to Saturday whenever you evaluate the quarterback position?
Very rarely in my life or any time in my older life do I leave the ground. I'm a very grounded human being. I don't get too overexcited about anything. At the end of the day, and a freshman today is different than a freshman, you know, in the past. They're more mature. They've seen some more things. But one player does not make a team, okay? There's a lot athletically, you know, that he does that, and we just haven't had somebody that can do for a while. He's got a really cool poise / confidence to himself, which I think we lack also at times. So those type of things, people seem to gravitate toward him, which is awesome. You know, so he checks all the boxes of what you want the QB to be. At the end of the day, he's still a freshman. He's going to make freshman mistakes. We have to gather ourselves in and say, okay, this is some things that we probably aren't ready for are going to happen. There's no need to get pissed off about it. It's just sometimes being young, you're going to make those mistakes.
Verz, with expectations, let's roll them forward, and you're right, a lot of work to do, and that Michigan model is a winner. I mean, when you're deep and talented on the lines of scrimmage, that's how you win in the Big Ten. That's how you win in the SEC. That's how you win in the college football playoff era. And I'm interested putting it all together with young quarterback, presumably, what you've got coming back is as an experienced crew as Nebraska's had in a while. Can they hit their ceiling? And then you also look at the defensive side of the ball with all that return. And have you thought about 2024 yet? Have you dialed it up, dialed it back? Or are you just holding pattern? Let's talk after you tip.
No, I mean, I think you always prepare for it. You know, Las Vegas will set a number, right? And Las Vegas doesn't miss electric bills. Okay, those bills get paid. They set numbers because they're good at what they do. So I would say, except a few years in the past in Nebraska, they missed pretty bad. But this one seems to be more spot on because it falls into line with the progression of what Rule and his team do. Mm-hmm. Okay, first year, you know, you win. I think his pattern was 3, then it goes to 7, and then it goes to double digits. So as their culture adheres, the better they get. So realistic expectation for, you know, what probably I think is going to happen is Nebraska is going to be in that 7-8 win range. The Nebraska fan and alumni and all that stuff that's inside of me, you just sit there and you're like, okay, well, if they get going early and they start to believe in what they can do, then maybe they surprise everybody and they go higher. But probably what I'm at is a more realistic version of them. I'm going to listen to Las Vegas. Las Vegas says, I think it's 7.5 is the number. So into that 7-8 range is good enough for me for year two, because the good Lord knows we ain't seen many of them.
Is there a year you were way off with your expectation or the Vers math on win total and they under-delivered? Or have you been pretty close to that Vegas line?
My betting account history says I got a pretty good grasp of how many games they're going to win.
That's what I wanted to hear.
They had them 1 year, I think, at like 6.
Yeah.
6 or 7. No, it was 6. Because I had under 6, under 5, under 4, and under 3 all bet. So I cashed all those but one.
Hmm. What era was this? It's been so many coaches in the last 2 decades.
Well, we ain't... We ain't won many games over 5 in a long time, so you can pick one. That's a good thing about betting. There's another option open every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, as the betting sharp here, if Nebraska falls short of that 7-8 wins as Vegas expects, why could that happen in your eyes?
That you would have something catastrophic in a line. You know, it'd be that offensive or defense. I was a little, you know, if I'm nervous about something in the game, and I understand, you know, preservation and all that kind of stuff. To me, though, and I get it, you know, you got super seniors and COVID seniors or doctor seniors, whatever you want to call them. You have a lot of guys sitting out, and I get that. You're trying to preserve and make sure you don't take, you know, unnecessary. You got guys that got boo-boos and you don't want them to get worse. But I also kind of like the guy that's like, you know what, I might be a little bit dinged up, but this is my last kick of the can. I'm going to go out here, say thank you to the great people in Nebraska one more time. I'm going to go bust my ass in a spring game, have some fun. It might only be 5-6 plays, but I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do it. That one still guy that's feared in every room, meaning your linebacker room has one guy that's feared by everybody. The defensive line room has one guy that's you know, and it translates to the defensive line as well. Yeah, one guy that's just feared. I think they still miss that guy. Where when you're at practice, and if you think you're not working hard enough, you got to know where that guy is, because he's going to call you out because he doesn't care what position you play. I think they missed that guy. But anything catastrophic injury-wise in the offensive line that would lead to – that would be probably what would lead to a less than Vegas season.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Matt Verzels with his former Husker, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Verz, I'm going to follow up with who was feared in your era on the offensive side of the ball? Who was feared on the defensive side of the ball?
Take your pick.
Well, I was kind of half expecting you could put a batting order together for me, but give me your top two.
Christian Peter and Christian Peter.
Okay. So CP, no, CP 55.
CP had an expectation of work. If you did not meet that expectation of work, you were going to learn that was not acceptable behavior. And yeah, you wanted everybody working as hard as the big double nickel was. As long as you were working as hard as the double nickel, everything was good.
Can you expand on how he would teach you that your work was not hard enough, or is that not fit for radio?
I made sure that, and you get good at things, right? You get good at knowing where he is, can he see you, and do you look like you're working hard? nobody gives him enough credit, but the fundraiser extraordinaire, Brennan Stye, was always another guy, too, that put in a ton of work. And guys, he wasn't as disciplinary as CP, but you wanted to make sure that Stye knew you were getting your stuff in.
So no examples today, Elijah. We'll have to get to Paisans for a bloody and get one of those story times from Verge.
I still think he laid out the picture well enough.
I just remember a story from Doak about how Christian, it was a spring game, and the guy, I don't know if his ankle was busted, but he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to keep playing, so he went out and played. And that, from an example standpoint, you want to talk about playing injured, not hurt. That impressed the locker room.
Those things mean a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because he's an established guy. He doesn't have to go out there and do that. But he knows if he goes out there and he sucks it up in a game that's, to be honest, it's a pretty pointless game. But that mentality trickles down into everybody that's around you. Like, hey, oh, man, am I? And I mean, it may not work with everybody either, okay? Because you can sit there and be like, oh, man, my shoulder kind of hurt. I play safety. My shoulder kind of hurts. I don't know if I want to be out there. Da, 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 da. And it may not come into your mind right away. But as you're sitting there, and you may have taken that day out of practice with your medical issue, and you're going to sit there, you're going to be watching that. And then a guy that came across the field that had an ankle that probably shouldn't have been played on. I'm not sure if it was an ankle, but had an injury that probably should have been played on, but he played. And so then you start to question, man, maybe I'm letting people down. And when you start to realize that, yes, you are in self-preservation, okay, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you're told you're not going to play, you're not going to play. But there's part of you that says, man, me not letting my teammates down is probably a little bit more important. If I go out there and I go as hard as I can, the odds of me getting hurt are very, very low. A lot of injury happens when you kind of go half-assed out there. But say if I go out there and I go as hard as I can for as long as I can, and even if it's 8-10 plays, no big deal. I gave everything I had. Everybody saw me give everything I had after the coach told me, no, you're not going. I said, well, my guys are out here. I'm going to be out here. I'm going to go. Now you're being selfless. You're caring more about the greater good than you are about yourself. And that's what champions do. Like that's what people ask quite a bit. Well, what made you guys different? And it's like, well, everybody, shouldn't say everybody. The vast majority of people would go give of themselves to benefit their teammate. They didn't think about, oh, I got to sit out here. Oh, I got a bad angle. They're to draw a correlation. Mitch Marner, who plays hockey for the Toronto Maple Leafs, is catching hell because when the puck goes into the corner, he won't go in the corner because people say, oh, he's had opportunity to, and he's bailed out on it. He just hasn't done it. Oh, well, his frame, he's this and he's that, and he's 173 pounds. On the exact opposite side of the ice, you've got that guy by the name of Brad Marchand, who is smaller, height-wise, weighs similar weight-wise, and will go in the corner and wait for you. But come on, come get it. You want to take this away from me? I'm here for my guys because they need me here. You may go in there and you may get your ass kicked if you're Mitch Marner. But the last thing you want your teammates to see you do is the puck goes in the corner, you turn and you skate away. Because that you ain't in it for me, you're in it for you. And that, things like that resonate through there.
Verz, with this conversation in mind, do you have a reaction to guys being held out of the spring game on Saturday? Is that a different conversation because it's coach's decision? What is your reaction to that?
We had guys that were told, yeah, you're probably not going to go today. And I said, no, I think I'm good. I think I'm going to go. And then they were asked, well, are you sure? I was like, I'm 100% sure because the other guys that I'm with rolling out there, they're going, so I'm going to go. We'll see what happens in the end. And all those dudes that did that and kind of sacked up and did those things, I don't think they had a lot of issue in the game.
Burrs, this was fun, man. Thanks for making time. Keep kicking butt, and always appreciate you sharing some Husker thoughts with us.
Yeah, before we get gone, I do have to apologize to a parent at the school in the south part of Lincoln toward the east.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Eric Gordon.
Okay.
He is the brother of Alex Gordon.
Uh-huh.
On the Herd At radio network, when I was speaking to Mr. Benning and Mr. Lula, my mouth got going faster than my brain, and I said that he was Alex's uncle. He was not Alex's. I was trying to get to the kid being the nephew, and I got it.
That's all right.
But he texted my sister and said, "Can you tell your brother I am Al?" Al's brother, not his uncle. Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, touche." Yeah.
Well,
but no, I got to watch a game with him, and they said a little duck snort to his son playing second base, and he was right into the sun. And as soon as the ball was hit, I saw him kind of just that momentary freeze, and then he kind of got back after. Well, son got his eyes, and he dropped it, and dad was not that happy. In baseball, dad for him, he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That's a great, great pair of sunglasses you got on your head. It's good those are on your hat." I was like, "Oh no, dude! Oh no!" But he came back and made a couple nice plays, and they got out of the inning, so it was all for naught. So it was good. But yes, to Eric, and God, I hope that's his name. Gordon, I apologize.
It's all good. So it's funny how they wear them $200 shades on their bill. I hear you.
Oh, dad was all over that one. I was like, "Ah, you're going to go hit little like fly balls to your son and just make him stare at the sun, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, probably." Like, okay.
Practicing perfect. Burrs, we love it. Appreciate you much. We'll see you soon, man.
You boys.